Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe, your store for everything door and more. Installing doors for your business, glass doors, sliding doors, and handicap accessible doors, plus frames and hardware. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.
Elliot, Bill Peters and the Flames have parted ways. We saw the Swift Current Broncos get rid of an employee today. Hockey Canada has made statements on the culture of the sport, and Ron Francis and his former owner are back and forth. How are your DMs looking these days?
You know, it's nuts. Like, there's no question about it, Ryan. It's a crazy time. You know, I've been running around chasing a lot of things. I was one of probably about 1,000 reporters who was trying to reach Francis last week before he released the statement on the weekend. And, you know, I mean, it was, and, you know, like even yesterday in junior, when the news came that, you know, John Torchetti in Moncton, they're the number two team in the CHL, that he wasn't on the bus for their trip yesterday and was taking a leave of absence. That was creating a lot of, people were like, what's going on there? And now I understand that that is an issue between coach and owner. And we'll see, you know, if he actually, like, if since it's being described as a leave of absence, he could potentially go back and coach. But, you know, that's the way it is right now, that, you know, there's so much we're chasing and so much we're working on that, the thing is now is that with the Akeem Aliyu story last week, and Frank Seravalli did a great job getting to it first, he got corroboration. And the thing that scared me the most about that Francis Carmano story last week in terms of who knew what was the moment Carmanos did that interview and I started trying to do some work on it, I had people telling me, like, be careful. And now if you saw the story today, Carmanos is backing down from that stance. Now, you can still feel the way you do that Carolina should have made a change immediately, but I think it just shows that you have to be careful. Today there was the Chelios one from Spit and Chicklets, and I sent a note to Johan Franzen in Sweden, and he confirmed it with a Swedish journalist. I did hear from a couple of players about kind of what that whole situation was. I think that the scariest thing right now, Ryan, is that, you know, I couldn't write 31 Thoughts last week, and it took us till Friday to do the podcast because the story's constantly evolving. And I just think that, you know, you're always worried that you get told one thing, and unless you're speaking to the primary person, you know, you're always worried that the story's going to shift. And there's been a lot of that. So, like, in the last couple of days, you're working on the Aliyu story. Like, you know, for example, last Monday, we confirmed with Babcock that the Marner thing happened. And on the weekend, you know, we were able to get the story that Aliyu was hired the Kaepernick legal team, Garagos and Garagos. But, you know, with so many other things, there's so many things constantly happening. And, you know, if you're speaking to Chris Chelios or you're speaking to Franzen, and they're obviously the people involved, those are primary sources. But then there's other times, you know, you're hearing things like with Torchetti yesterday, and because you can't speak to him directly, you're not exactly sure what's happening. So I think that's the thing that you're sitting there and you're worried about is you want to make sure you have it right. And in this day and age, you have to be careful about, you know, getting corroboration. That's all.
What is the league going to do here? Because they have either, you know, taken in the entire Flames investigation and clearly are doing some meetings on their own with Akeem and his representation. What's the statement that needs to be made, or does that depend on what they find here?
Well, the one thing I heard on the weekend was that a lot of what happens next will depend on the meeting they have with Akeem Aliyu, which will be this week. I've been told it's this week. And, you know, they're going to meet, and I think everybody's kind of, with the kind of representation that Aliyu's hired, and that's a high-powered firm, I think everybody's wondering, you know, what's going to happen here. There was a report on the weekend in Sports Illustrated, and that guy, Michael McCann, he's a really good reporter who's really connected in legal circles, that Aliyu was not satisfied with the way the Peters situation unfolded. And, you know, like, I think a lot of us are still waiting for more answers. Like, you know, I've collected a lot of information about Carolina. I wrote about it a bit last week, and I talked about it in the podcast. I'm waiting to hear more, like a lot of people, about Chicago. But if last week is any indication, we're not going to get information until everything's settled. Like, you know, I felt bad for Tree Living last week. You know, he was basically thrown to the wolves. He was, you know, like, he was the only guy talking, and really none of that happened. Like, none of that happened on his watch, but he was the guy doing the investigation. So he got thrown out there, and we're like, okay, where's Carolina? They did make one statement from the coach, and a couple players talked. Where's Chicago? They just sent out a statement on their email and Twitter. You know, like, I think the NHL is looking at this like, for legal reasons, we kind of have to wait and see how this one situation unfolds. Because if it turns into a lawsuit, I just don't think they're going to make a lot of statements or make a lot of people available. So I've been told that a lot of how this is going to go depends on that meeting. And I think that's probably the best answer I can give you, Ryan and Pat.
Elliot Friedman's with us from Hockey Night Mondays on the program. It's funny, you mentioned Brad Treliving, and I'm with you. I thought he was in an awful spot. So much of this, or all of this, happened not on his watch. On top of that, in a lot of ways, he's not making the final decision. The NHL's involved in that investigation, and he's got his higher-ups and his Flames ownership that are going to be making the final decision on how this ends with Bill Peters. But I'm curious as to your observations, reflections of how this was handled from a Flames standpoint, starting with the news breaking on Monday night and getting to the resolution on Friday morning.
Well, I mean, like, I don't think it, like, to me as a person, I didn't like how long it took. Okay. I think, like most people, you're sitting there and you're saying, as a human being, like, the statements were corroborated. The situation from Rockford and the situation from Carolina, there were witnesses. And I think most of us as people, you know, say this is clear cut. He should be gone. Okay. Everybody I know who's a lawyer said that just because you're sports doesn't mean you get to ignore the way things go in the real world. Mm. And they said that this is the way the real world works. Like, you know, like, Ryan, like, God forbid, like, you did anything like bad in a previous life. But let's just say, for example, something comes up from, like, how long have you been working at this radio station?
6.5 years, but probably only a few more days after you find what's going on.
But, like, you know, like, but the point is, like, say something comes up from 10 years ago, like, they're not going to be able to fire you tomorrow. They're going to have to do their work. And, you know, everybody I know who's a lawyer simply said, like, that's the way the real world works. You can't do that. You can't just, like, there was a situation, and, you know, one of the cases I was reminded about was, you'll remember, like, there's a stupid saying that people do near reporters, right? Particularly female ones. Like, it's embarrassing that people have to put up with this. And a few years ago, outside a Toronto FC game, one guy did it. He did it right into the camera. And it turned out he was an employee of either Toronto Hydro or Ontario Hydro or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And they fired him, and he went to arbitration. He got his job back. And it was because they didn't follow the process. And so I understand, like, I feel the same way. I think it should be quick. But, you know, everybody, like I said, everybody I know who's a lawyer says it doesn't work that way. Like, that's not the way life works. Like, whether you like it or not, you have to do a process with people because that's the way it goes. So I think the Flames did the best they could. And I think Tree Living, for a guy who was basically thrown out there to be the face of the NHL while this all went on, like, I always say, could I have done better? Like, I don't know if I could have done better than he did that week. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, at the end of a long week, some of those questions were tough, and I think he was exhausted, and, you know, I might have pulled him out, like, before if I worked for the team. but I think you have to answer those questions. And like, I think he did, like, how many people do we know could have done a better job? I don't know anybody.
The only thing that struck me, Elliot, was like, my goodness, this is supposed to be the guy like building your roster and watching the minors and scouting and coordinating all this other stuff. Like, if there was ever a time where you wish you had a president of the hockey club, it felt like this last week would have been a real good one. And they have had one for a while here when Berkey was here, because it just looked like there's a guy that's overloaded, isn't he?
I'll tell you this, to me, that, like, president, whatever, somebody's got to, it has to be one person who stands up and says,
yeah,
I have to handle this. And, maybe if, there was another person there that could have been them, maybe somebody could have shared the questions. But the bottom line is, you guys were on the road, and, he was the point guy. And, I also don't think in those situations you can really run. Like, when you're in charge and you're getting paid the big bucks to be in charge, you got to stand up and eat it sometimes. I thought it was too much, but I thought, for a guy who was basically asked to be the spokesperson of the league in a brutal week. And like we said, these two incidents, like, there's some things sometimes, like the Babcock one about Marner. There were reporters here who'd heard that story. I had chased it once and told it was not, it was portrayed as the way we heard. And then it turned out that people didn't say the truth because they didn't want it to get out before. And, the particulars involved, even they wanted to bury it. And so we were told it wasn't that big a deal. And eventually it turned out to be a big deal. These ones with Peters, I don't know who knew them. I had no idea of those two stories. And I guess the Flames didn't either. Like, just imagine you're in that situation. You get thrown to that. I thought you did a great job, all things considered.
Elliot, Rye asked you about the legal ramifications and what comes next in that regard. But what about just overall what's next for Bill Peters? Any idea as to, like, does this guy work in hockey again? Do we see at some point him come out and actually try to rehab the image and maybe try to make amends or actually apologize to those affected? I understand there were legal things that maybe prevented that initially.
We all didn't like the statement, right?
Agreed.
But, the reason the statement was like that was because, what happens if Alliu does sue? Then you've got a statement saying you're wronged. And of course he was, but you can't admit it from a legal point of view.
Yep.
I was surprised, and I said this on the air, about, the fact that the Carolina situation wasn't mentioned, but someone told me that might be for legal reasons too. So, there's no way you can see right now Bill Peters working in hockey again. But the thing is, it depends. Is he willing in the long term? Is he willing to, first of all, I hope that he's getting some counseling. That's number one. But you know what? What's he willing to do to make amends? And I also do think at some point he will meet with the league, and I think there will be a ban or a suspension. I would expect that to occur. I don't think it's as much of a front burner now as some of the other situations that might come up, but I think that it will happen eventually. So my question is, what are you willing to do with that time?
Yeah.
But as we sit here right now, you can't see it.
With Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night, let's switch gears and for a second talk about a couple of things on the ice. What did you make of the Taylor Hall reports that came out over the weekend and your read on the future of Taylor Hall and how much longer he might be a Devil for?
Well, we've been talking about, ever since the Devils got off to that rough start, we've all been talking about it, right? That this was going to happen, and it looks like it's going to happen. And I do think the Devils are taking an honest run at it now. I think they'd like to see if they can, it's been a tough season for them. I know there's people who debate they're not as bad as they've looked. They've had some ugly losses, but they feel they're better than they've shown. But I think they're motivated to try to see what those stories only get out. I know because I've done them. When somebody is either a motivated seller or a motivated purchaser. And I think the Devils at this point in time are a motivated seller. They want to see if they can jump the market now. And so I think they will. I think Colorado is interested. I think Edmonton has interest. I've heard Dallas. I've heard St. Louis. I got to wonder if, Montreal, Bergevin. I mean, the last really big in-season deal he did was Jeff Petrie. And that was almost 5 years ago. Like, he makes his big deals in the off season, but you're looking at where they're going. And I'm just going to throw another dark horse out there, and that's Arizona. I have a sneaking suspicion that they might be in on this. Like, they're off to a good start. They just got through their hardest month of the season schedule-wise. They're very much in it. What do they need? They need scoring. I could see Arizona being in on this.
Is a deal, in your eyes, conditional on him re-signing there, or do you think there'll be interest in Taylor Hall as a rental?
Well, put it this way. I think there'll be both. Like, for example, for you guys, if you guys could sign Taylor Hall to an extension, I think you guys would be in on it. But I don't know if you're doing it for a rental.
Right.
Because, look, that team, they're looking for D. And, Colorado, they got D. They got D. They could make that trade. Dallas, I think they got D. I think they could probably make that deal.
Yep.
I think if you guys were, like, but the word is, like, his agent, Ferris, he doesn't believe in signing guys during the year. I'm not in on their conversations, but I would bet that his advice to Hall is let it play out and see what your value is. So the only way that's changing is if he gets a contract, either he goes somewhere he really wants to go or he gets a big offer. So I would say it's unlikely you're getting him now if you're signing him.
Does this remind you of the Mark Stone deal last year in the sense that it's an elite winger that can drive possession that, is considered amongst the best in the game coming up, but also wants to maybe test the waters and what extension numbers would be? I mean, do you see similarities? Would that be the right size of package in terms of assets to get Taylor Hall?
Well, some people have mentioned that. I think that the top thing for Mark Stone, the comparison that doesn't work there, Ryan, is Mark Stone he really wanted to go to Vegas, and Ottawa knew that. I think Taylor Hall is willing to go anywhere that will help his free agency position. I think he's willing to look around. Like, I don't think he's married to one spot. I think there's two things that really appeal to him. Number one, I think, there's no guarantees in this league. Like, every year there's somebody who makes the playoffs. You're like, how the hell did that happen? And somebody who misses the playoffs. And you're like, I can't believe they're out. But he wants to give himself as best a chance as he possibly can. And the other thing is, I think he wants a stage. Like, I think Taylor Hall, like, he told me that year in New Jersey where they made the playoffs, he loved it. He loved the feeling of being in there for the playoffs and how excited the fans were and what the building was like. I think he just likes that general atmosphere. So I think that's what you're kind of looking at with him. I think Stone's focus was very narrow. He wanted Vegas. He told us he wanted Vegas on the podcast. That's all he wanted. Hall, I think, will have a wider lens.
My final one, Elliot, we saw a really interesting home-and-home set over the weekend. We saw Edmonton and Vancouver split. Vancouver wins on the road, followed by Edmonton. Gutsy win on the road the following day. It's been a long time since both the Canucks and the Oilers have been relevant at the same time. It's nice to see a couple of teams that have not seen a lot of playoff action over the last number of years, Edmonton specifically, to play some meaningful hockey this late in a season. I thought that was a really interesting home and home set between the Canucks and the Oilers.
I wish there were more of those. I really do. I wish that, and I think it would ease schedule. I think it would really help, like, your travel if, for example, now I know that the Canucks didn't like that game. because they were coming off a long road trip. Like, that was a long, you know, it was Dallas, Nashville, Philly, Pittsburgh, ended up in Edmonton. And then they had to go back home the next night and play. I know they didn't like it, but I think Ottawa's West Coast swing kind of screwed up everything. But in general, I remember doing a game and doing back-to-back games in Winnipeg. I think it was like a Wednesday, Thursday, or a Thursday, Friday. Washington played in Winnipeg twice in a row. And I wish more teams would do that. I think it's like, I'd love it if like Saturday, Sunday was Calgary, Edmonton, maybe twice a year.
The only pushback I'd give you, I think a few seasons ago, there was a bunch of Calgary, Edmonton back-to-back to start, and then it feels like, oh my gosh, we haven't seen this team for like 3-4 months because two of your five or whatever the allotment is are disappeared in the first week of the season.
Well, maybe you don't do it that early, but yeah, like maybe you could argue about when it has to happen. But, you know, I would like to see that more. Like, I think it could really help travel-wise. I do. And then maybe get a couple more days off during the week.
Last one from my perspective, just what Montreal is going to do in net behind Carey Price with Kincaid set for waivers. And then, of course, the obligatory, what's the gossip out there?
Well, I mean, like missing the playoffs there is a disaster. I think everybody kind of knows that. Price is, there's something going on there. He's off. He's had a nightmare week, and he's their MVP. If he's not at his best, they're in big trouble. And so they're in big trouble right now. It sounds like Caden Primo is getting the call up. I mean, that is a big, big ask. I mean, that is a big, big ask. So I'm curious to see where that's going to go. You know, Bergevin went to Russia. I didn't know if he would go, but he actually went. Like I said, does not have a history of swinging for the fences during the regular season. But I'll tell you this, missing the playoffs this year, that is not an option. It is not an option in Montreal. I know they've been looking for left side D. I think they were taking a long, hard look at Alec Martinez before he got hurt. But, you know, they're going to have to do something. This is not going to cut it. And missing the playoffs this year, I think, will come with consequences.
Thank you, Elliot. Chat next week.
See you, pal.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe, your store for everything door and more. Installing doors for your business, glass doors, sliding doors, and handicap accessible doors, plus frames and hardware. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.